My wife's not here. We had made plans a few weeks ago for her to go to her dad's birthday party, and then we had Ellicottville yesterday, and so it just had to work out where she needed to be with her dad. The Bible says honor your mother and your father, and so she needed to honor her dad by going there, and it actually worked out real well. He actually sent a message saying that he believed that I made the right decision in doing so, and so I thank God for that, because that's a man who just couldn't stand me. That's a man who did not like me, okay? When I met his daughter, I was, you know, drunk. I was unsaved, and it was an absolute mess to a man who has respect for me. Not because of what I've done. He knows because of what Jesus Christ has done, and the stand that me and my wife have taken. It's taken us years to get where we're at with our family. It's been a battle. It's been an absolute battle. But they know we're not going to waver one way or the other. And so I thank God for that. But that's why Amy's not here, and it's odd for her, and it's even odder for me, because I am very forgetful, and I forget everything, and having her not here makes me a mess. Okay, I love seeing her face here, and she's not. So anyway, I'm going to do something a little different tonight, and that is I'm going to teach. Okay, I'm going to teach. I can preach. I can, you know, when the Lord's in it, it's pretty good. But I'm going to teach, and because in the ministry today, Tim, in the ministry today, part of what we have to do is to even get people to believe that there's a Bible. Number two, we have to get people that, listen, even in the church pews as we sit here today, there's people who aren't even studying their Bible because they have no interest in it, okay? And so we as preachers and we as evangelists and whatever, we have to pique them people's interest. We got to get them interested in something somewhere to make them want to get in there and study that Bible. And I know what I like to do is I like to challenge people with the tabernacle, okay? I've studied it. I have a book here. I brought this, you know, for reference for my notes. It's a whole book on the tabernacle and the Levitical offerings. And I've went through there and I've hand drawn the whole thing. I put it all in place, you know, doing my own measurements and such. And it's a challenge, but it's something that gets people into it. It gets them interested in doing it. It gets them interested back into that Bible, and God can really work through that, okay? And so I just believe it's a blessing. You know, I always tell the people there at the jail, hey, man, why don't you get it? Let's start doing the book of Leviticus. Let's get in there in the tabernacle. Let's start tearing that thing down, because I'm a firm believer that somebody can be saved but yet not fully understand who Jesus Christ is because they leave that Old Testament out. Okay, you want to know who Jesus Christ is, you get in the Old Testament, you'll find out who he is. You'll find out more about what's going on, how he reacts, and so on and so forth. And I just love it. So anyway, just turn to Exodus 25 real quick. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I don't have time. But I want to hit a few points. If you just turn with me to Exodus 25. A lot of people ask me, well, you know, you tell me to study the tabernacle. Where do I begin? I'll tell you where to begin. But before you begin the study, there's some important things we must realize before you begin your study. Okay, what I usually tell is start going through Exodus 25 and the first few verses here. They're going to give you an inventory. Make your inventory list. Okay, you can come in this little book here and you can see that I have an inventory list of every single thing that God asked for. It's important to put that in order. It's important for you to realize what he's asking for. It's also important for you to realize, because this is where it gets messed up. This is God speaking to Moses. This is God asking for these things, not Moses, okay? This is a very confusing thing to people, and I don't get it, okay? This is what's God asking for, and he's asking to be willing to do this. And so Exodus 25, the first two verses says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering." Okay, this is God speaking here. This is not Moses. And it says, "Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Okay? So we see here God is asking for these things. And as I always get ahead of myself, and I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight. So I'm going to stop there. Brother Tim said something earlier, and it really piqued my interest. And I actually wrote it down here. But it says in Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Okay? And so the very first thing, the basics we're going to have to start in, and I'm talking even believers, we got to go back to the basics of who is speaking, when, where, why it's saying, because they just don't get it. Okay? Believe me, I've met people who have been in the Bible a lot longer than me, and they do not take it literal, okay? They do not take it for what it says, and they change it all around, and it's confusion. So the very first thing that we have to start, the very first thing that needs to happen is we need to get man out of our studies and put God in our studies, okay? Right. It's got to be done, or you're never going to get it, okay? And so we see here in Exodus 25, verses 1 and 2, that this is God asking, that it has pleased God to ask for these things. Many Christians, including Baptists, want to change what these things are in the Bible. And it drives me up the wall to hear them when they do it, because they are absolutely asking for the wrong thing. For an example, go with me to Exodus 27. I'm going to read one verse here. Exodus 27 says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Here we ask, see that God's asking for shittim wood. Okay? Plain and simple. It's not plain and simple. Because I don't care who it is. I hear Baptists doing it all the time. I hear everybody else, they want to change it to Achaia tree. They want to change it to the Achaia wood. That will not work. Okay? We have to understand this. Shittim wood, it is the same consistency as water. It's very heavy in weight. It will not burn. Okay? The Achaia. I'll give you an example of what that would be like today. You know that cheap furniture you get at Walmart, that particle board? That would be Achaia. You think God's going to make an altar out of something that's just going to crumble within the first... Not, this is the altar they're going to do burnt offerings on. Okay? So why would God ask for Achaia? At that point, where they're at in the desert, you couldn't even find the Achaia tree around. The shittim wood tree is on the side of the mountains there. That's where they were. They were in that place. They could get to that. That's why God asked for it. And I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that burning bush that Moses was standing in front of was shittim wood. I do believe that. It won't burn. Okay? God knew what he was picking. God knew what choice that he was making. I believe that was shittim wood. And so we see people want to change that. Baptist commentaries and perverted Bibles change it to Achaia wood all the time. It's not what God asked for, okay? And so the Achaia, it will just fall apart. Now, I just want to say something here. When God's asking Israel for this in Exodus 25, do they know they're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years? Who knows they're going to be? Pretty cut and dry. God knew it. So if God knew they were going to be in the wilderness for 40 years, why would he ask them to go get the cheapest wood you can to build an altar? When it's going to be picked up, moved, and everything else. You see, back to the basics. We got to get people back into just taking for what God says. He can explain it all to you in your Bible. He can get you in there. This is what's going to pique the interest of the people, is when they start saying, whoa, that makes more sense. You know what? But throughout your whole Bible, God is trying to do what? He's trying to move man out of the way. It's his plan, his way, not ours. Right. But continually, we want to get ourselves in it. When it doesn't make sense to man, we just change it. Here's another example. Go in your Bible, and I'll give you $1,000 right now if you can find bronze one time in your Bible. I'll give you $1,000 right now if you can find bronze in your Bible. Let me just say this. So many Baptists will tell you that God, in the building of this altar, asked for bronze. It's not even in your Bible. God asked for brass. Let me see. Who better would know what material to build that altar out of? God or man? So who created brass? I think God created brass. So he would know. And another thing that people have a tendency to forget is, at that time, we're talking about when Moses is out there, when they're out there in the chilly woods, brass was a pure brass. It was not messed with. The brass that we have today is a cheaper version. Stuff's been taken out. Stuff has been added in so man can sell it cheaper, make more money. You understand? Back then, God created brass. It was pure. And that pure brass could handle the heat. Bronze today can handle the heat better than brass can today. That's because man has interfered with it. But back then, man didn't interfere with that brass. It was a pure brass. It could handle it exactly the way God wanted it to. Okay? And so, when we see that God asked for these things, God asked for them, not Moses, not anybody else. God is the one asking for for him to bring the shit and wood. God is asking, he's telling him the measurements. Then he's saying that I want you to go out there and get brass, not bronze, because bronze will melt. Okay, it's a different compound. It's a different mixture. It wouldn't work in the time. And so back to the basics. Another example, God created brass, so he knew. He also, keep in the back of your mind, today, when people can't wrap their head, and I deal with it a lot in the jails, when people can't wrap their head around something in the Bible, they want to try to force something in there. You know, you talk about all the time, Pastor, where somebody's going to try to take a puzzle piece that doesn't fit, and they want to force it in there to make it fit. But that's what they try to do all the time. And as human beings, when we study that Bible, that's what we like to do. Okay? We like to go ahead and try to force something that's not going to work. Force something that's not going to fit there. And it's going to mess up our doctrine every single time. Okay? And so we know that God knew that they were going to be moving this thing for 40 years. The only thing that was going to be able to hold that up would be the shit and wood. Okay? And so anyway, this is what man has done with Bible and salvation. They've put their thoughts into it. They've changed it, okay? And so God has been removing man out of his plans, but man keeps trying to force them back in. Many here today would say, I would never correct the word of God. Many who are sitting in this room would say, I would never correct the word of God or the teachings of what God has to say. But in the commentaries and in some of the books that we read, there is a lot of us that change it, okay? And one of them, and I had to be corrected on this, you hear a lot of people say, the holiest of holies. That is an NIV doctrine. You go read the NIV, the RSV, and all those, it is an NIV doctrine. It is never found one time in your King James Bible. What is in your King James Bible? Turn with me to Exodus 26. And I'll show you. Exodus 26, verse 33. It says, thou shalt hang up the veil under the thatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. There you go. That is exactly what God calls that place that they're trying to refer to in NIV and all that as the most holy place. God calls it the holy place and the most holy place. But yet, we, including myself, because my pastor had to correct me on it, will sit there and we will say NIV versions of the Bible. And yet, we stand up against them. And so that's what you have to work with, the basics of even Christians, even Christianity, to get them to say, hey, man, if we're going to live a King James Bible life, if we're going to live that doctrine, then we have to leave all that other stuff out and take for what God says. We have to do it. It's so important to keep that right. It's so important, especially when you're going to be studying the tabernacle or the Levitical offerings. Man, I'm just telling you, it'll get people so mixed up when they bring all that other stuff into it. Okay? And I'm just going to say this. I'm not against Bible reading, or excuse me, book reading books and all that. I'm not against that. But I believe this. I believe there should be a time in our life where we say, you know what? Put the books aside. Put the commentaries out, get the dictionaries out, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to sit down with God, and I'm going to let Him teach me what I need. Because today, so many people have gotten their doctrines from what other men think. What about what God wants to show you? What about the Spirit of God who says, I want to sit down, and I want to teach you something, and I want to show you something? Do you think commentaries taught me any bit of this? Do you think somebody else's book ever taught me anything I know? They did not. It was for me sitting down. And now to do the study of that tabernacle is probably taking me about 2 years. And I still don't totally know it. But you know what I did? I said, I'm going to set apart. I'm going to get rid of all that stuff. And I'm going to sit down and see what God teaches me. I'm going to sit down. And you know what? It's been a blessing. It's been a life changer for me. It's been something that I never, ever thought possible. Not because it's made me smarter, but because God knows that I'm trying to do what He's always trying to accomplish in all of our lives, and that's move man's thoughts and knowledge out of the way. That's what we're tangled up in. Some other guy's thoughts. Man, what God could do with you, man, you have no clue. It's endless. To sit down with Him and the Spirit of God and let Him show you what's in that Bible. Start that tabernacle. I don't know you. I know you're busy. But start it. Man, I'm just telling you, it's life-changing.
Piece by piece. And do that with all your... This, I told my Sunday school class this. I learned it from my pastor. You're never going to make time. Oh, you're never going to find time to read your Bible. You have to make time. Number two, we're talking about something beyond your devotional.
God didn't say, well, you read your devotional every day to prove yourself unto God. No, he said study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to have a study time as well as your personal devotional time. There's got to be two. There has to be. You have to make it at least an hour of your own time to study your Bible, not just read your devotion. Okay? That's important. I'm not saying don't do that. Yes, do it. But then, we're trying to go above and beyond. You know why? We want what God has to give us. Okay? We want what God has to say to us. And if we can't sit down and give him that time and give that the Spirit of God what we need so we can sit down with that and hear what he's got to say and we can clear our mind and say, hey, Lord, you know, I'm going to sit down with your word now, Lord, and you said you're going to teach me these things, so go ahead and start teaching me. And he will. It blew my mind when I first started learning. I mean, listen, I'm an ex-alcoholic and drug addict and all that kind of stuff. Man, I used to get high. But me and Pastor Cassiello, we're talking. There's nothing like God showing you something, man. It's out of this world. You're like, woo! Are you ready to jump up and run across? I mean, what a wonderful thing. It's a blessing to get that. Hey, how about this? How about that can happen more often to you today? If you start today, it can happen more often for you. You go, gosh, you're supposed to be teaching us a little bit about the tabernacle. Hey, I am, but we got to go back to the basics. Yep. We got to get back first. We got to get back to what we let go of. Listen, I'm not saying that books and that aren't good reads. They are. I'm not saying that. Please don't. But you know what we ought to do? We ought to listen to what this says before what man says. And it needs to line up fully, 100%. With what this King James, we're all King James Bible believers, I take we are. Okay? And then when we see somebody who's teaching us out of a book, and he's using the word like archaea or bronze or something like that, that shouldn't be there, we need to go ahead and just remove that out of our teaching. Let's not even hold on to that stuff, because it's wrong. Okay? That kind of stuff, that kind of doctrine has slipped into our churches. And it's turned the churches upside down. It's turned them the wrong way. It's really messed them up, okay? And so we got to get that stuff out of our life. We got to get back to what God wants us to do, and it's to study, to show yourself approved unto God and not man. We can't always sit down with what man teaches. Now, God blessed us with pastors. He's Sunday school teachers and evangelists and all that. That's a wonderful thing that God has done for us. But you know what? God expects us on our own with him to sit down and do it as well.
That's right.
We have to do that, okay? That is so important. Jesus Christ says, man can't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God needs to be. We have to sit out and spiritually eat that. Just like we need food to physically stay alive, we need to spiritually eat this word to stay alive. And we need to sit down and see what God, go through it. One of the things I tell the people all the time in the jail is this. You take a word and you know what? You don't know what that means? Run that word through your Bible. Don't get into the dictionaries. Leave the dictionaries. Surprise yourself one time and look up a word. And listen, it's going to take a while because there's a lot in that Bible. But you know what God says? I'll teach you. You will know the definition of that word by the time you're done reading that word, every word that's in your Bible.
Yeah.
The thing is, nobody wants to put the time into it. Somebody else already done the work for them. That's what we've become. We've become a nation where we depend on the evangelists. We depend on our Sunday school teachers. We depend on our pastors to teach us everything. We've put it away. Why we are in the mess we're in? Let's just be real. Because we went and we've let everybody else do everything for us when God says, no, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. That's something between you and God. That's a relationship. When you first met, I mean, you didn't know her right off the bat. You had to get to know her. You had to spend time with her and understand. Well, wouldn't we do that with God? Well, here's what happens. So we get saved, good, we got it, and now we can just turn to everything else, but we forget about our Bible. I'm a firm believer in believing that you cannot fully understand who Jesus Christ is without that Old Testament.
Amen.
You need that Old Testament. You have to learn that. You got to understand that. Why do you think he gave it to us? How many times? Listen, I work with a lot of I have worked with a lot of people out there, and a lot of them who are into those perverted versions, they said, man, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. We live in the New Testament. Whew. They have no clue what they're missing. It's not a wonder why they don't know who Jesus Christ is. It's not a wonder they don't know his motives. They don't know they don't understand why he does the things he does. They have no clue about it. They have no clue that God is God, but then he's God the Father. They can't discern if God is dealing with me as God, and they can't discern or whether he's dealing with me as God the Father. Do you know God does that? There's time God deals with us as God. You know, he's got the law there. He's showing us. He's trying to make us understand. And then there's times he's going to grab our hand and he's going to say, hey, this is going to hurt, but I have to make that decision for you. You have to follow me. He's going to take care of me as God the Father. And he's going to grab my hands and say, now trust me. At that point, he's dealing with you as God the Father. And he's going to lead you through that thing, not out of it. I tell them all the time in jail, stop praying that God will get you out of it. Pray that he will get you through it. Because in them times, he's going to lead you as God the Father. Amen. And if you don't understand that, next time you go through your troubles, try to discern. Is God dealing with me as God, or is he dealing with me as God the Father? Uh-huh. Those of you who have children, you men, you got to make some tough choices for your children. And you know they don't understand it right now. But you know the outcome is going to be the best for them. You're dealing with them as what? The Father. That's what God's going to do. He's going to take your hand. And for me, I had no clue what a father was in my life. I always thought God just hated me. And all he wanted to do was judge me. And all he wanted to do was punish me. And then he showed me one day, no. I'm dealing with you as the Father. Because I love you. 6 times that's in your New Testament, Paul separates it like that.
Amen.
Go study it out. It will blow your mind. Paul wanted you to know that there's 2 ways that God deals with you, man. And when you're in that tough time, listen, you either take for what God says or leave it alone. Because you're always going to get mad at God. Oh, because you don't understand how God is dealing with you. You won't sit down and take the time to find out. It's important. It's very important. Man, I'm just telling you, if God can take a drunken bum, an addict, and an ex-gang member, and he can teach me these things, then why can't he anybody else? The problem is we've gotten lazy. Let's just admit it. We've gotten lazy in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? I do it myself. God has to get on my tail about it. And I suffer hardcore when I sit there and I don't do it. Okay? And you know what? Your studying shouldn't be impressive, because if it's oppressive to you, God's not in it. You'll never learn nothing. It should be something joyful, something you look forward to. Okay? Make it something you look forward to. Hey, God, you know what? This is going to be mine and your time. I'm setting this apart just for me. Do me another favor. Don't do it right before you go to bed. You're too tired. You won't get nothing. That means you're going to have to give something up during the day you normally would. How about that?
Well,
I'm just saying, that's what it has to do. That's what you got to do. I told my Sunday school class, I said, you know what? What's going to happen is, I understand you're just so busy. Well, let's put down the TV, let's put down the video games, let's put down the this and then put down the that. Give yourself an hour with God, it'll change your life. That's what you have to do. He knows. God knows. Okay? Well, you know, he knows what we need. But how are we ever going to find that out if we won't give him the time? You think about this. What in your life? Brother Tim talked about this morning, an idol. What idol has come between you and God that you will not give him that time? I'm talking beyond your devotion. What idol has come in between the word nigh and near? Love that when Brother Paul Scott put that on there. Me and you are near to each other, yeah? Oh, no, I have to go around here. So right now, me and you are near to each other.
Yeah.
Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. You know what nigh means? I can't draw nigh unto you. That means draw close. You know why I can't draw an eye into you? Because there's something between me and you. That's an idol between me and you. That's what nigh means, to get close to you. We can try to draw near to God. We'll do our little devotion. Maybe shoot up a little prayer, but God says, no, I want deeper than that. I want you to draw nigh to me. I want you to be right next to me. But if there's something between me and you, what is that idol that's stopping you to God that close? What's stopping you from becoming that close to God? What's stopping you from becoming nigh unto God? That's what he's telling you. What is it? What is the idol? We all have them. Anyway, to study the Bible, we must do as God tries to do and remove man and his doctrine. Okay, we got to remove man and his doctrine out of our lives and our studies. There has to be a point in time that we come to where we're not going to rely on anything else but what God has to teach us. You guys all know Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, and it's important. It says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts. You know what? People, they know that verse. But they don't live that verse. Because you hear them all the time changing everything. I go, well, then how is that God's way? What do you mean? I know what that verse means. God thinks differently. I ask the guys and the ladies all the time in prison. I said, could you imagine serving a God that's just like you? Because when you remove God and what he says in that Bible, that's what you're serving yourself.
Amen.
Your ways, your thoughts. Man, time to get rid of them. Hey, if we can do it in our own ways and our own thoughts, then why did Jesus Christ have to die? What was the purpose? It's not. It's obvious to a duck. For 40 years, I was out there floundering, thinking I knew the way. Well, I tell you what, I didn't know the way. God is showing me the way, and it's right here. It's in front of me. Brother Tim talked about it. We can touch it, see it, look at it, hear it. It's right here. It's here in front of us, and we need to take advantage of that. Hey, one day, we might as well prepare ourselves now, because one day we may not be able to have a Bible in our hand. How's your memory verses coming? Are we remembering that? So if we ever got put in a concentration camp, we can go in there and teach somebody? I really could teach this pretty much off the top of my head. I don't know it that good, though. I got to have a refresher course. I got to go back through everything again. Probably my seventh or eighth time going back through the tabernacle. And every time I do, Pastor, I learn something new. That's what keeps my interest. That's what piques me. And then the thought of one day, us maybe not being able to hold the Bible in our hand. Can we go into a concentration camp or wherever they put us or whatever they do with us, and can we teach them the Bible? Can we have Bible study? I'm not getting down on anybody. It's me. I'm guilty of it. Who do you think gets this first? God gives it to me first because I'm the knucklehead. Okay? I'm the knucklehead. So anyway, we must keep in mind that Israel just came out of Egypt. Go with me to Exodus 25. And I'm going to read a few verses. Exodus 25, 3 through 7. I'm just trying to hit on a few things here and there. Exodus 25, verses 3 through 7. So we're going to start with just the basic of what God, this is the inventory God asked for. Exodus 25, it says, this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and the blue and the purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim of wood and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Okay? And so here we see that we go, well, gosh, didn't they just get delivered out of Egypt? Where are they supposed to get all this stuff from? God's got an answer for that. Let me show you. Go with me, if you would, to Exodus 2. Go with me to Exodus 2 and go to verse 20. We'll read verses 20 through 22. Exodus 2, verses 20 through 22. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that thou... Wait, I'm in the wrong one. Exodus 2. Yeah, 20 through 22. Oh, that's not the right one. Exodus 3. Let me try Exodus 3. Oh, man.
Yeah, it is. 3.
Is it 3, 20 through 22?
Yeah, that's what you want.
Okay, I wrote it down wrong. My bad. And so it says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you shall go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. You shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. There you go. Okay? That's where they're going to get the stuff from. Okay, so before they leave, God says, hey, I need you to go borrow all this stuff from the neighbors. Because remember, keep in mind, God's going to have them build this tabernacle. They don't know they're going to build it. They think they're getting worldly riches. Man, we're going to be rich. All right, cool. But God had other plans. God was going to give them a rich that they never could ever dream of. You know what that rich was? He was going to come build a place where he could dwell with them.
Amen. Amen.
What do we want? We want worldly riches. We've forgotten about God where he can dwell with us. We're not happy with the inheritance of just having God. Do you know that's the Levitical priesthood? That was their inheritance? Their inheritance was God. That's all they were getting. He sat there, God told him, he says, you're not getting anything your brothers get. I'm your inheritance. Christians today aren't happy with that inheritance. Go ahead and start stripping stuff away from the Christians. Go ahead and start taking away everything that they have. I'm telling you now from my own perspective, from what I've done, when hard times have come, God says, you happy with me as your inheritance? Oh, I'm not. I have not learned that yet. I'm still going through that. But I'll tell you what right now. God needs to be our inheritance because he's come and given us something more special than any worldly thing that could ever happen. And that's him coming and dwelling in us. Now he's in the tabernacle, not made with hands. He's in us. That defeats all worldly things. But anyway, to go back to the inventory, God knew they were going to build a tabernacle. So this is where they get all the stuff to build it. Because God had already known that. God already knew that man was going to fail. He couldn't keep their laws. Man couldn't keep the sacrifices. So did God fail? No, everything man puts their hand on, they fail, including salvation. And perverted Bibles and everything else, we have failed that miserably. Look at America. Look at the countries we send our missionaries to. Not every one of them. Not every one of them. Because man has stuck their nose in somewhere that God, it's God's work, not man's. And because we have put our nose in there, because we have changed things around, because we have rearranged things, because we have changed his word, even those us as King James Bible believers using NIV doctrines have helped this thing get into the churches so deep. So deep. Because that's what we'll stand on. That is what we'll stand on. And we'll say that's doctrine. And God says, that's not my doctrine. That's the devil's doctrine. You see, the devil said he wanted to be like the Most High God. So if he can just sneak his doctrine in very nice and quietly, like he has since the beginning of time back in Genesis 3, if he can just sneak that in there and make people doubt. Let's just make people doubt the word of God. Well, God couldn't have asked for the Achaia tree. You know why he couldn't have? Because it would be he had to ask for the Achaia tree because they couldn't move that big old heavy thing. Why do you think God said put rings with staffs on it so they could move it?
Amen.
That's right. God knew what he was doing. But man said, well, that's too heavy. They couldn't move it for 40 years. So we'll just change it to lighter wood. No, that's not what God asked for. And that's what we're doing with the Bible. That's what we're doing with our churches and salvation. We're trying to put in what we think. It's not what we think. We need to stand, go back, and get back to what God thinks, what he says. Okay? How can we ever go into jail and ever get people? I'm talking drug dealers, murderers, I mean absolute convicts. How can I get them to want to be interested in that Bible? How can I get them to even try to believe in the Bible if I'm going to go ahead, they have an NIV sitting in front of them, and they hear me say, I'm a King James Bible believer, but they hear me teaching NIV doctrine. How's that going to work? Is that not confusion? It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Okay? So we have to clean that stuff out of our lives. We need to get back to what God, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to what God is teaching us and what he wants to show us. We need to get back to that thing. And it's going to open up a door that you wouldn't believe. And you know what? The ministries, they're going to come alive again. People are going to get interested again. People are going to desire the things of God. I don't have to go in there and pound these people off because they have NIVs. How many people have them? But you know what happens? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have them. And we don't say anything to them. We let the Spirit of God show them. And you know what? They all start asking for King James Bible. I ran out of King James Bibles. Thank God, Brother Dennis. They just sent me something. It's in the mail now.
Amen.
Okay? Because I went through all those Bibles. You know why? Because of what we say? No. Because we're teaching the Word of God. We're keeping the doctrine of the Word of God. And you know what makes them hungry for that? They realize, oh, I have the wrong Bible. They realize that. We don't have to beat them up over it. But you know what? That ain't ever going to happen if all our foundation is built on somebody else, on their other of their thoughts. It's never going to happen. We need to build the foundation on Jesus Christ. Hey, another word that I love Brother Paul Scott. I think it was him who done it. Maybe it was you. as a Christian, and I think I taught this in the jail while Pastor was there. As a Christian, we have Jesus Christ as our firm foundation. We've been established in Jesus Christ. Now, what's going to happen next? There's another word in your Bible that's called establish. Okay? So for those that have Jesus Christ, we have that firm foundation. Now Jesus Christ needs to establish things on top of it. He needs to build on top of that. Build something that's something already there, okay? So he's got to establish that on top of what's already there. It's something that's already, it's got to be built on. Do you know what? We cannot establish or establish anything when we're standing on what God's, or standing on what man's belief and man's knowledge is.
That's right.
How can they ever get that firm foundation like we had? Oh, excuse me, like we have. How can anything ever be established in their life when all they're thinking is, man, wait, this Bible is saying this, but he's saying that, but he's doing this? Man, that's confusion. It's got to be established on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, and then let God establish these things on. And there's an order to your Bible. God is a God of decency and order. Okay? There's an order to it. You read things. And you know, so many people want to go from here to over here because they want to get to that part level in their spirituality. They just want God to transport it from one spot to the other. No, man, you got to go through it to get there. You got to start here to get over here. And God's not going to just go, oh, you want out here. No, we're going to go through it. We're going to go through it. We've got to go from one to the other. Okay? And I'm just telling you tonight, let's tell God, you know, I really want to learn the Bible. I really want to get back to what I need to understand you, to know what it's going to take for me to have a relationship with you. Just like our wives and just like our husbands. Man, we love that relationship. And it takes work. We have to make time for each other. We have to make sure that their needs are being met and so on and so forth. Well, why aren't we doing that to Jesus Christ? Why aren't we doing that with His Word? We want to call our daily devotions. We did a big thing. We didn't, though. Because I'll ask this question. It's probably one of my favorite questions to ask in the jail is, I'm not saying to anybody in specific, but who in this room has people lined up to get what you have?
Uh-huh.
That's what's got to be. It's not about what Dale Morey can offer. Because all I'm going to do is fail. But it has to come, what do they see in us? Who do they see in us?
Yes.
That is what they're going to have to desire. Because so many people, you know how many of those other churches going in there and got them doing coloring books and listening to Joyce Myers and all that kind of stuff. They don't desire that, so what do we have to offer them? If we can't go in there with the doctrine of God, if we can't go in there with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, we got nothing to offer them. You're going to tell a man who's making $4,000 or $5,000 a day standing on a street corner that you're going to go work a minimum wage job when you serve Jesus Christ? You go ahead and convince him that then. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take Jesus Christ. It's going to take the truth coming from the Word for that to happen. But we have to get back to that. We have to get back to our studying. We have to get back to the basics. So before we can do anything else, before we can even write down our inventory list of that tabernacle, we have to go back and start from the beginnings and say, God, I'm going to sit down with you and I need you to teach me. I want you to show me. And you know what? It's going to be work. Pastor, they don't like work. They don't like work, Pastor. When they got to sit down and study that Bible, they just don't want to do it. You know, it's very quick, Brother Tim, to get on Google and pull up something up that somebody can teach you. Copyrighted messages is what I call them. That's all we're doing is taking other people's messages and preaching them. Why don't you get something yourself, something fresh from God? The copyrighted messages aren't working anymore. And we need to wake up to that. We need to wake up to what God is doing. We need to wake up for what He's, and get them back interested in the Bible. We need to get them to want to study it, to want to get into it. But we can't with the wrong doctrines. We can't with the wrong things. And I'm going to close. In the Old Testament, the study of the tabernacle and the Levitical law shows the plan of salvation in the New Testament. God already knew that these things, man was going to fail these things. But you know what had to happen? God had to allow them to happen anyway so that man could see it. But you know what? They don't see it today. man doesn't see it today. People, one of the things they always ask me is, why does God allow these things to happen? So that you can see the wickedness of yourself and people.
Yeah.
So you can wake up to the wickedness of mankind. Do you think they do? They don't. They do not. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe. You know what the hope is? There's a little word that says L-E-S-T, lest. That means there's hope for somebody. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. That's their hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. The gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. It says nowhere about Dale Morey shining upon them. It doesn't say anything about any one of us shining upon them. It says the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. That's the only thing that's going to clear the way. That's the only thing, that's the only light that's ever going to work. This is the flashlight to show the way, not only for our life, but for those of us in the ministry, for those that are lost, for those that we're dealing with. This is what we need. This is what we have to have. Anything outside of this is maybe a gift. I tell my Sunday school class, I said, please do me a favor. And they say, yeah, what's up, Dale? I said, please don't take what I tell you in my Bible. Don't take it for granted. Don't sit there and just say, oh, Dale knows what he's talking about. You go study what I don't.
Amen.
You take those notes and go home and you cross. And if I've done something wrong, if I said something wrong, you come back and tell me. And that's what we all should be doing. Pastors and we listen to pastors and evangelists. Not saying God didn't give you guys wisdom and give you guys things, but you know what? Your people should be going to check out what you say. But, and I'm going to close with this, we've gotten lazy. Here's what the attitude is. Well, my pastor does all the studying. I don't have to. My Sunday school teacher does all the studying. Well, the evangelist, he does all the studying. I don't have to do all this. They'll just do it for me. They'll just give me the answers for everything. Wrong. Wrong. You ever wonder why sometimes you'll sit there through a week of meetings and get nothing? Because God told you to study and you won't.
Come on.
Ever know why your Sunday's dead, why your Sunday school classes are dead? Because God told you to study and you won't. That's what it's come down to. And we got to get back to the basics before we can even start the inventory. We got to get back into taking what God says, believing what He says, and putting that to use, putting that to work. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you.